Hello everyone, this is Dario Betti. Welcome to the MEF Blockchain Podcast. As always, I'm very happy to say that I'm here with Daniele. Hello, Daniele.
Hi, Dario. Great to be here. Always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Always nice to have Daniele Menzi here joining, as I keep on joking, but it's true. I make stupid questions, but he makes real business with blockchain. So we should get somebody like you talking to us. And talking about all the different implementation of blockchain, however, there is one demand which I thought we were going to get, and we did. I mean, we've been talking of a lot of generic topics, introduction, what's blockchain, the implementations of the blockchain in different parts of the ecosystems. And people come back and say, but isn't blockchain a virtual currency? So what's happening with currencies and blockchain?
Yeah, it's very interesting because many people have different emotions out of it. You have the guys which are completely in the crypto space, or the so-called early adopters or tech savvy, which are there, and they trust beyond everything and anything that is going to be the currency of the future. And other people that have been, you know, following this since the early stage. So Bitcoin, for example, is one of the cryptocurrencies, has been engineered in 2008. So, but has been started, you know, trading activity only in the last few years, following the development of new platforms called exchanges, which have allowed people to trade, so buy and sell these currencies all over the world. But what's going on is, for a period of time, I'm talking about every cryptocurrencies, but I can, you know, deep dive into some specifics, but the most popular one is Bitcoin. So the market cap of Bitcoin is approximately $140 billion, and Bitcoin represent in value about 50% of the overall cryptocurrencies, including Ethereum, including Ripple, including you know, Bitcoin Cash and others. So by far, Bitcoin is the one that generate more transaction and has captured most of the market value. What happens right now, as I was saying before, is that after a period of time, that where any time the traditional financial world, so finance, was going down in a way, so you know, if you take stock exchanges like New York Stock Exchange, the Nasdaq, and so on and so forth, you had always seen an increase in value of the cryptocurrencies. You always had an asymmetric behavior between cryptocurrencies and traditional finance. So as people led to think that if finance goes bust, then I have cryptocurrencies so I can hedge somehow. But what we are experiencing now with COVID-19, it's something which we have never seen before, which is for a period of time, so the finance was going and is going down, and also the cryptocurrencies were going down. So what is the truth? So are there kind of a shell assets, or somehow they follow a certain dynamics? I am so obsessed by statistics, and especially in the fat tails, meaning anything which is not clearly and obviously modeled using a Gaussian distribution. So, and I have to say, we have no statistics there to say it's one way or another, but it's definitely a very interesting period of time to see how cryptocurrencies will evolve into this moment of uncertainty.
So lots of happenings in cryptocurrencies. Obviously, yeah. I see the ups and downs. I mean, if you only had invested 10 years ago, you would have lots of money. But if you only had invested 6 months ago, you would have lost lots of money. So you never know. And timing is always, as on speculative investment, they're important.
Yes.
The mechanics is also very important behind it, because apart from anything else, you can start learning and applying different things. And now, something that we have, I think, touched on the second podcast or something, or third, I don't remember. But one very important thing you told us at the very beginning is there are cryptocurrencies, but there is also token. So
yeah.
help us understand that.
Yeah, there's confusion, but it's normal, okay? Because there are a lot of terms, a lot of buzzwords, and people that are not dealing with it on a daily basis, and I'm doing, they get confused out of it. So to clarify, we have cryptocurrencies. So cryptocurrencies, for me, it's something like programmable money. It's digital money that you can program over a piece of software. Most of those cryptocurrencies are open source. So this means the source is publicly available. You can audit if you want. So for example, Bitcoin, you go on GitHub and you find all the code of Bitcoin. What you don't find is who is running the network, which is behind the piece of software which is running, the so-called miners, okay? So how this is being engineered. But this is another story. So cryptocurrencies is programmable money. But then we have another word, as you just said, token. Token is something slightly different. I would not call the Bitcoin a token, okay? Because a token is a container of a value related to an asset, okay? So an asset could be physical asset, it could be non-physical asset. I give an example. If I want to define the digital ownership of an asset, for example, real estate, then I need to create a token, okay? So the token is nothing more, nothing less than a container of a right of an underlying asset. Then you might have different type of tokens. There might be security tokens, there might be utility tokens. So in that case, if you have a utility token, then you can argue there's no asset in the back. So in that case, the utility tokens are those that are functional to the use of specific functionalities. I give you an example. There are in the period of the ICO, so initial coin offering, so many companies has used these ICO financial engineering to raise money and to give to their investors these utility token. They were nothing more, nothing less than digital rights of using an application, hoping that this token would increase in value over time. So, you know, thinking about speculating out of this asset, but there were no real underlying asset in the back. Okay. As opposite to this, there are security tokens which have a real underlying asset, like real estate, like equity, like cash flow. All these have real assets in the back, and they are fully regulated by security acts in the US or in Europe by different set of regulations by the financial regulator. So think about the token as being the container of a digital right.
Mm-hmm. So let me think about what you said. We have programmable money. I like the idea of programmable money. So that's money which is actually richer in layers, and you can add additional information within that. But effectively, yes, just another currency. It's a secure but rich currency somehow. You can say who you're giving it to, where it's gone by, and anything like that. Sounds smart. Right. Then you got what you took of a token, which seems to be, as you were saying, a small contract almost. You can say, well, you can buy 1 millionth of something, or 50% of something else, and automatically programmable as if it were money. So one is as simple as money, but it's contract for other things, and the other one is complicated money, which does much more than money.
That's correct. I mean, there are tons of definition. For example, is a Bitcoin a store of value? I can say yes. That's my personal opinion out of it. But Bitcoin does not have, not also the fiat currencies have, like the euro or the US dollars. They don't have an underlying asset. So they are no longer backed by the government, because for every piece of paper being printed, there's no the corresponding value in the reserve in gold. Okay. But what is the value? The value is a subjective element. So to me, Bitcoin is a store of value, because for me, Bitcoin has a value. So then we can open up an endless philosophical discussions out of it. But long story short, the cryptocurrencies today strongly rely on a speculative behavior by the markets they insist on. So this means there's no, let me say, underlying value behind these currencies, but it's only supply and demand. So what the people think has a value, that's the value of that cryptocurrency. So we should not enter too much in what is in the back. Are is gold or whatever. We don't really need to think about this. Because the physical, so the fiat money, they are no longer backed by the gold reserve as it was many, many years ago.
So let me ask one question that comes from our mobile nature. Let's say that I'm a telecom player and I'm selling telecom services, mobile operator, or I might be a wholesale player doing in selling of space and traffic or advertising for the matter. But here we go. Should I then, after listening to what you just said, fiat money, you know, blockchain money, it's they're all, you know, not backed by value, but there is some stability in some of them, or more or less. Should it be then that I should accept even Bitcoin or Ethereum, other things, payments from my customers out there? Is that doable?
First of all, in especially in telco, having the most let's say open acceptance of payment, it's clearly a key advantage. So definitely it is, you know, I cannot really say highly recommended, it's obvious, because I'm all in the blockchain and in crypto, but definitely the more cryptocurrencies the business start accepting at the early stage, the more the leverage adoption to the crypto community. So the advantage, and this is something, you know, I'm spending a lot of time explaining this, is not about having just another payment method. It's much more than that, because into the blockchain ecosystem, into the blockchain industry, all people which are inside blockchain and crypto, because the blockchain is the underlying technology of cryptocurrencies, but the crypto community, including the blockchain community, it's very, very strongly interconnected each other. So the more you welcome cryptocurrencies payment, let's say Bitcoin as an example, the more spread of voice your application, your product, your whatever will be exposed to the community. And then, and it's not only about how many people using Bitcoin to pay. I mean, Bitcoin is not right now a currency, is not a cash as it was intended to be once it was implemented. So initially Bitcoin was meant to be a peer-to-peer cash system. So there are other cryptocurrencies, for example, Bitcoin Cash, which are much more focused at being the preferred payment method for small peer-to-peer transactions. But long story short, what is key and what I highly encourage telco community is to consider to open up digital payments on top of the traditional one, like credit card, PayPal, and so on. And then to measure the speed of growth and the span of success within the community, because the speed of growth is incredibly high there.
And that reminds me that one of our members of MEF, Dent Wireless, actually is partly doing some of these things, is putting together a currency and telecom services, and they're matching the two. So maybe there'll be another opportunity to invite them and have the two of you discussing. And
sure.
Might have to be in future, because I'm afraid.
We would like to make sure that people understand how easy and how cheap is to use some currencies. Not all of them are designed to be peer-to-peer cash or to be as cheap as cash. Cash is not cheap, by the way. But it's very important that people understand, and especially for telco players, the payment method is right now it's a very, very key differentiator to tackle new market segments and eventually to custom or to identify specific growth axes into their businesses.
Well, great. So here we go. At least you heard Daniele saying embrace Bitcoin currencies, and maybe it would be nice to see how many of you will do that later. And if you have some history, experience, and so on, share with us. We'll like to track how the telecom system is adopting blockchain themselves. Daniele, we don't have much time to continue, but we are going to have another podcast next week or the week after shortly. So I will say for now that we stop talking about currencies and Bitcoin, and we join next week with some other topics, and possibly topics that you can email from us to us. Do it at info@mobileecosystemforum.com if you want, or talk to me and Daniele. You know how to find it on our website as well, on mobileecosystemforum.com. We got our emails and our details. Daniele, anything else to say?
Looking forward to get tons of questions. The common question by the people which have heard of Bitcoin somehow, and they're asking always two questions. Number one, is it a good investment? And number two, what is your price prediction for the coming months and for the coming year? And first of all, I come from the second, and I don't make predictions. I'm so bad at making predictions. So I'm long on Bitcoin. So being long means at the end, I believe it's going to grow in value. How much is going to grow? I don't know. And how quick. And number two, whether Bitcoin will somehow surpass, will become the only digital currency in the world. Let's say like this, Bitcoin has the potential to become one of the main currencies, because Bitcoin has been hit by severe turmoil in the past months, in the past couple of years following the bear market, and I mean, so fascinating understanding how this money works, and at least I would encourage anyone to educate themselves on how it works first, and eventually to consider whether to buy or not, because you're fascinated about how it works, not because of you want to drop $200, see whether it will become 400 or 500.
Fantastic. Well, you heard it here before. I nothing to do with predictions, and I leave all of that to Daniele. But soon we'll see what happens, and there is a lot of going up and going down right now, so volatility in current months is pretty still high. Every predictions might be right at one point in time. That's what my prediction would be.
That's correct.
So enjoy, and thanks for being with us this week. We'll speak soon. Bye bye.
Looking forward to it. Thank you. Bye.